This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Everybody, Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Let's get our heads right on a Monday. I feel like we need to get our heads right. Certainly, the Padres fan base, the Padres themselves, they got to get their heads right. I don't know what their problem is. But we'll figure it out. We'll talk about it. And listen, great to be here with you guys on this Monday morning. I'm Woodsy. That is Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer and the imaging director of the station. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning.
Benjamin Higgins is your friendly, very friendly neighborhood sports anchor. You're a friendly, friendly guy.
Too
not
friendly.
So friendly this morning.
Oh, no.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be very friendly, as always.
You're too
people
friendly.
Get mad.
I'm just going to be so friendly.
He said this morning, he goes, he just sat down and kind of matter-of-factly said, people get really mad at my tweets.
He's like,
he's like, yeah. Yeah. Man, people get really mad
just
at me.
Being my normal, optimistic, look on the bright side self, and it really infuriates some people.
Yeah, I could, and it doesn't infuriate me because I know you. I know you as a person, and you're a good person. It doesn't infuriate me. When you do tweet, sometimes I do this. Oh, no. Oh, you're dead. Like you're going to get dragged. Now, you also don't mind getting dragged. So I wonder, and not to kink shame here, do you have a humiliation fetish?
I don't. You know, I will say that I am used to it. It doesn't bother me. I don't think
Is it getting to you, though? Because you've never really mentioned it before.
I don't think it's getting to me. I don't enjoy it, though. It's not like I am like, I think there are people who will send out a post on social media.
Yeah.
In order to get dragged, like get that reaction.
Like an S post. I do it for, not for Padres fans, but for Dodger fans. I like to like mix it up with them because they get so sensitive. So I'll tweet something about the Dodgers just to rile
up. I'm not putting my hands together. Ooh, this one is really going to get them mad out there.
I don't think you have that in you.
I don't do that.
No.
It just naturally occurs based on my sunny disposition and optimistic outlook.
You are, I mean, it's almost infuriating when you do it. Because we'll do a group text, right? And I'll send something that like maybe Adam says or does that makes me mad that I'm venting about, and Ben he'll pull the well actually, and I'm at home like this, like stabbing myself in the throat, like hey, just have my back here.
No, I will say, and I sometimes get frustrated by the fans, and you guys are just as bad as everybody else, especially on the group text. When things are starting to go bad, you know, Pauly text, here we go.
Here we go.
And it's like, hey, can we just please wait until the game's over once or twice just to see what happens?
Hang on.
You're talking about Friday afternoon. Probably about, I don't know.
I'm talking about 70 times.
You are specifically talking about Friday afternoon. I texted the thread, I don't know, 2:30, 3 o'clock, yeah. And I said, man, this loss is going to sting.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we were winning at the time, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I go, man, this loss is going to sting.
I'm not saying you aren't right a lot of the
and
time.
And then I just send you the, what did I tell you?
Yeah,
after
told
the
you.
The game ended.
Told you.
The walk-off.
Told you. Sucked.
I just prefer to remain optimistic until it's over, and then I can be sad like the rest of us. But I don't think there's any reason to get sad before it's all over. Might as well at least be open to the possibility that it'll be different
now
this time.
That makes Paulie you a rube.
Does. Yeah,
I am Paulie, Charlie Brown trying to kick the football.
It's more like for me, I'm going,
this is the time.
I'm saying I've seen how this story ends.
Sure, and what it does for when Paulie and I, the venting of it, expecting the worst. When it happens, you're like, see, I told you. Like, that makes us feel better. And not
it's
because you're right.
A little bit of like lowering your expectations,
yes.
Too. That way, if you're pleasantly surprised, great.
It's just psychology. It's your own inner struggle with, you know, loving a baseball team. Janine says he prefers delusion. Janine, by the way, is the spiciest Padres fan out there. Got to meet her finally. At when we were on opening day, and she walked in, she goes, I'm Janine, and I go, I love you. I said, I think you are so nuts in your Padre fandom, and I really appreciate it. It doesn't bother me when Janine like goes off on these guys. It really kind of makes me happy. She's great. You're great, Janine. I don't think Ben's delusional. You just, if you know Ben, he is so glass half full, and you know. There's some time to get it figured out, but this weekend was not fun to be a Padres fan at all. Again, you feel like you should have swept that turd team, and you didn't. You've lost another series. And did I read this correctly? Have the Oakland A's won a series before the San Diego Padres? Is that true? That makes me want to pull my hair out. Mm. You know, that's what really really makes
me
nuts.
I hadn't connected those dots until
somebody tweeted it, Paulie, and I specifically chose to ignore it. Essentially. I'm not going to go do the research. I'm not even going to look because I think it'll just make me mad. Did you guys have good weekends, bad weekends, average weekends? I got some funny stories from the weekend.
You know, I had to work on Friday and Saturday night, so it wasn't a weekend that felt much like a weekend. I did have yesterday off, really. Relaxing Sunday. I watched the Iowa basketball, the championship game, and then the Padres game with my son, and
yep.
did some laundry stuff around the house. So that was a nice, just complete day off. I fixed I didn't fix the radiator on my car, but I figured out how to add coolant myself, which always makes you feel
like a man.
Very competent. I mean, I don't want to, you know, gender assign anything to it.
True.
There's no reason.
You can ring it on me.
That,
I just realized.
Yeah, just ring the misogyny bell there, but. Just make you feel competent, like a competent human being.
I say that because my wife totally knows how to put coolant in her car. I don't. So there, she just rang it on me in the chat. I apologize for my misogyny. I really do. I can't even say it. Well, speaking of like good things that you should do around the house, we had these weeds growing out of our gutters. And I mean like 3 foot tall, like huge.
Like they've actually like sprouted.
Sprouted out of our gutters. And I'm like.
Just from the silt that is accumulated
yes.
And then the seeds that landed in there. And then they started growing.
So I'm like.
That tells you it's been a while since you've cleaned out the gutters.
Correct. And I kept walking in, I don't know, every day for about 2 months going, somebody really needs to get those. So finally I hit my breaking point and I go, I'm just going to have to get up. They're all coated and covered in spider webs, by the way. Like, there's weeds, and you can see the spider webs. I'm like, this is not going to be fun. So I got both the boys out, made them hold the garbage bag, because I'm trying to put their little asses to work, too.
Right.
They're freeloaders, both of them. And I had them hold the garbage bag, climbed up the ladder, pulled the weeds, threw them down in the bag. We did some father-son home improvement. I felt very, I don't want to say manly, I felt very... confident in it.
Is that part of the game of being married, that things around the house, sometimes it comes down to which of you can stand it the longest? Neither of you like, of you liked the weeds growing out.
No.
But you just wait long enough, and if it bothers the other person more,
they'll
you hope that
it.
they'll
they'll take care of it before you have to take care of it. Like dishes sitting in the sink for a while. Like maybe if I don't do them now, someone else will do them. But eventually you just think it's bothering me enough that I am going to now get this done.
My wife, I'll win every one of those because I can wait it out for a year if I had to. Now, I'm actually surprised this got to me as much as I did, as it did. But I would walk in every day through the front door and I would look up and go, God, that really looks, we look like hillbillies. Like we look like the Beverly Hillbillies. And so I finally just said, all right, boys, get your stuff. We're going to go out. We're going to do this. Part of it, too, was like teaching them that they need to start doing chores. They're 6 and 3.
This is a be careful what do you wish for moment, though, because I know from at least your descriptions of Hannah that she likes everything in her place and she likes a neat and ordered house.
Yes.
And, you know, runs a pretty tight ship.
Very tight.
I would say that early on in our marriage, Shelley was more like that. She wanted everything good. I was like, just loosen up. It's fine if we leave something here or there. I have done such a good job, though, of loosening her up that she now I'm the one who's like, can't we get some stuff done around here? And now I end up being
she's very loose now.
Now she's loose. And it's like, this is what you wanted. I'm now loose. It's fine. I'm not going to make you do the dishes or I'm not going to ask you to do anything. It's like, yeah, but it still needs to kind of get done. And now I find myself as the one who, I guess I better do this if no one else is going to do it. So careful what you wish for there.
Yeah, there just needs to be a happy medium. Is what I'm thinking. Hannah worked a ton this weekend, so I had the boys a lot. It was great, very very fun. But we put the kids to bed on Saturday night. Saturday was a long day. They both got up at 6. We went to breakfast. We did all kinds of activities, and we went nuts. We had a basketball clinic. We got his new lacrosse gear because he's going to SEALs camp. So we played lacrosse. Taylor had a birthday party. It was just a long day, full 6 a.m. We finally got these dudes down. I looked at her. I go, I am gassed. That day felt like it felt like 24 hours, you know, into the 12 hours we were up. So I finally get in bed at like 8 o'clock. I'm like, oh, my God, yes, yes. All of a sudden, I hear down the hall. So I go, oh, I hope he's okay. It's Taylor, my 3-year-old. So I run down the hall. I go, buddy, what's the matter? He goes, sticks his finger out. He goes, I got a boogie on me. And I go, what? He goes, I have a boogie. He had a booger on his finger. He
picked his own?
Yes. Yes. He picked his own booger and then started screaming about it. So I had to run in his room and I go, what do you want me to do? And he just sticks his finger out and I took it on my finger and I go, that's it? And he started laughing. And I go,
I got your ass.
I go, you called me in here for a booger? And he starts dying laughing. So I walk next to him. I go, he just called me in there to take a booger off of his finger. I go, I'm over it. I'm going to bed. I'm taking a sleeping pill.
That's 5-star service right there.
Come on, man. And I was like, well, at least he didn't put it in his bed. I'm like, I wish he would have. I wish he had a little collection. Don't call me in there for a booger. Call me in there for important things. So it just never ends. We had our tier one baseball game yesterday that did not go well. We lost 7-2. And I don't know what to do, Ben. I don't know how to motivate these guys. What do I do?
Can you threaten to send someone down to the minors, to the Tier 2 team or anything
like
that?
The Tier 2 team, I believe, won yesterday. Oh. Congratulations
maybe
to those guys.
Maybe need to promote
guys.
Some of those players from the Tier 2 team to the Tier 1 team.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe we run the shuttle down there to South County.
I thought at one point Woods was going to pull the, because we have enough guys to do it, 8 men off, 8 men on, just full swap.
Full team swap.
The high right. school basketball coach maneuver after 3 minutes of a game that's sloppy. You're all coming off the court. Point to the bench. I was always one of the guys on the bench who, I get to go in because the coach is so mad at the starters that I actually get to go to a game
so
for
good,
once.
Dude.
And I know it's only going to be for 2 minutes and he's going to realize, you know, I was still better off with the starters, you know, goofing off out there than I am with the bench guys. But I made my point. Now, you all come back off the court and we'll put the good players back in.
It was, I finally snapped at the team yesterday because they had the Padres game on in the dugout. And we're down like 2 or 3 runs. And, you know, there's still plenty of time to win the game. And like 5 guys were over watching the game. And I turned around and I go, hey, we got a pretty good game going on out here that we still have many innings to play. And then I was like, oh, wow. I just snapped at everyone. And I'm sure they were texting each other later, like, how does Paulie work with him on a daily basis?
Like, lunatic.
This guy's an absolute lunatic. So, yeah, it sucked. We lost. We made like 14 errors. We walked 11 times. Normally in adult league, that's a good recipe for success. You get on base,
two runs on 11.
Scored two runs and
11 walks.
We struck out 13 times. Well, we had five hits.
I know what would happen if this was the real big league. You can't replace all the players, so fire the manager and see if someone else can do a better job. Maybe promote the bench coach to the manager.
Fine. My pleasure. Paulie, you have the con.
I got opening day for Tier 1 basketball this week, so there's my mentality.
You have the con, buddy. It's all yours. It is all yours.
Ben, you want it?
No, I'm good. Thank you. Oh. You sound fairly miserable right now. let's get going because we got an entire weekend to discuss, including yesterday's. That was a tough one to take. A game the Padres absolutely 100% should have won and didn't win against the San Francisco Giants. We'll set the menu. I'll tell you what we've got coming up on the show today. It is it's an Eclipse Monday here with Ben and Woods. Don't go anywhere. Let's check traffic with Kelly and then off and running on a Monday on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
I get it, Paulie.
I get it.
Yeah, I get it too.
Total eclipse of the heart.
I don't know if I can do this all day.
Yeah.
But I can do it here.
Why not? I'm looking outside. I can't. Is it eclipsing right now?
It seems kind of
dim outside, but I think it's just because it's. Yeah, today is the eclipse.
I was reading Southern California, I think between like 10 a.m. and 12:30 p.m.
We're getting just under 60% eclipse. Okay. So you might not even notice if you're not paying attention. It'll get a little dimmer than usual for an hour here. It's really the eastern part, the swath of totality from Mexico all the way up to New England. There's like a 118-mile wide swath that cuts across, from south to north across the country, where they will get a very rare total eclipse of the sun today. The next one in the United States will not be until the year 2044,
okay.
I believe, or 43. And that'll be like in Montana, just a little corner of Montana and North Dakota. So they are quite rare, the total eclipse, but we will not be getting that spectacular of a show today. You have to be in a different part of the country. I see we have some tier ones who are in the path of totality today, hopefully wishing for good weather. If it's cloudy, it'll get dark, but you won't really see anything otherwise other than it just getting dark in the middle of the day. But it is an unusual stellar phenomenon.
Get your glasses.
Do you, should I care more about it? There's been some things lately going on that everyone has been tweeting like, go out, see SpaceX, the launch. And I'm like, I'm all right. it's just like a trail in the sky. Like
I watched it the other day.
Did you? I wish I did.
I saw that one was launching in about like 10 minutes.
Yeah. So you went outside.
Pulled it up on YouTube. You can watch the launch. And at first I go, this is crazy. Like it wasn't that long ago in human race where like the whole world stopped to watch a rocket launch.
Right, yeah.
And now we're just like, let me put on YouTube real quick and watch another one. And it's in like, what is it, San Luis Obispo or Santa Barbara is where they launch out at. And so I watched it launch on YouTube and we went outside to the backyard and about 30 seconds later, sure enough, there it is. I'm like, that's kind of cool.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just that way. I'm just like, I think that's that dumb thing that I have.
You just heard Ben. We're not going to see another one for 40 years, 30 years, 20 years.
I just want to see some wins.
Maybe get the kids some sunglasses.
I just want some wins. That's all. I think everything would be better if we would just win ball games. I know that I think I would be in a better mood. People would be more positive in this town. We'd be happier. I just want to see some wins. I do. Honestly, it all boils down. I want to see the tier one baseball team win some games. I want to see my kids play well. And I want to see the Padres. I think if those three things all converged, I would be a much happier guy. Is that sad?
Yeah.
It's sad, but they're, you know, listen, I count my blessings. My kids are healthy. Everything's good. But I think I was such a jerk.
We need to get you to a point where the performance of the Padres, good or bad, does not impact your mood so much.
Honestly, our baseball team's loss yesterday affected me more than the Padres.
Because you weren't watching the Padres because you were playing a game.
Yeah, well, I knew they lost, and I knew how they lost, and I got home and watched like the lowlights, I guess, as it were, and was like, now I'm like doubly mad. And so I don't know how I get there. Weed doesn't help me. It helps a lot of people, and they're very zen about it, and I'm trying to be zen, but it's the zen is dissipating.
Big bomba class before bossing on head.
There's no doubt. It's been hard to be a Padres fan this last season and a half. Not hard in the way it used to be, where you had no chance to start the season and no hope. It's hard in that, you know, every team is going to play games like yesterday, where something weird is going to happen and it's going to cost a team a game.
Yeah.
It just feels like it's as rare as a solar eclipse when the Padres actually win one of those games.
Correct.
It just feels like all the weird stuff, and some of it is obviously self-inflicted. Other times it is just kind of random bad luck in baseball, but it certainly feels like it just always has gone against the Padres, at least since the start of last season. All the weird stuff, and we'll get into yesterday's game and what happened with Ha-Sung Kim, you know, that you would not expect Ha-Sung Kim to cost the Padres a baseball game.
It's tough, man.
Certainly did. We'll get into our Padres wrap-up coming up in our next segment and discuss yesterday's 3-2 loss to the San Francisco Giants. Then we'll go back and discuss Friday and Saturday's games. One win, another close loss that you thought the Padres could have had in the Friday game. In our 7 o'clock hour, take on Woods and Don't Do This. We will also at some point, I think maybe in the 8 o'clock hour, get into the NCAA basketball, the women's Final Four over the weekend, the controversy on Friday night with the call that went the way of the Iowa Hawkeyes, the illegal screen that had the sports world in an uproar.
I mean, it was as busy on social media about that call as I've ever seen it about any single call. Interested to hear what your thoughts are.
Very
on
polarizing.
That.
Yeah, you know, should it have been called? Should it not have been called? It definitely cost the Huskies a chance at the championship game and helped Caitlin Clark get there. Of course, yesterday, she came up a little bit short again against a very talented South Carolina team that dominated their way through the entire season. So we'll take a look at the Final Four, the men's championship game. A lot of intrigue for that one tonight as well, with UConn looking to complete unprecedented, not that other teams haven't won twice in a row, but to run through two NCAA tournaments without ever really even being
challenge. Not one close game. Not one, just survived that one by 3 points. Nope. Just win by double digits, 12 straight games if they get this one and take the title is something you do not see in the NCAA tournament. You just never see it, and they're looking to pull off something incredible, but they'll have to go through the two-time player of the year, Zach Edey and the Purdue Boilermakers. So we'll talk some college basketball in our second half of the show. In-season Sammy, he's our Monday regular Padres guest. He'll give us his thoughts from the weekend covering the team and what's going on, and take a look ahead to this week with the Cubs coming to town tonight. Fresh off taking 2 of 3 from the Dodgers.
I actually said it in the dugout. Somebody was like, our Cubs are beating the crap out of the Dodgers. I said, oh, good. And then I went, oh, crap, they're coming here next. That's what you want, right? Like, they're cruising in on a hot streak, beating, you know, the juggernaut billion-dollar Dodgers. You're like, okay, now again. You know, we said last week, Ben, this stretch of schedules that's coming up is pretty solid, you know, and that's why you needed 2 out of 3 from the Giants, and you feel like you could have won all three and probably should have. And now, Cubs coming in, you got the Dodgers, you got the Brewers, I believe, as well. That's the other team. I mean, you're going to get the Rockies, but the Rockies always play us, like, really, really tough. Those games are going to be nerve-wracking, so they're going to have to continue to tread water until they figure it out.
Cubs for 3, off day. At Dodgers for 3, at Milwaukee for 3, man, off day. Back home for a weekend series with the Blue Jays, 4 at Colorado, and then they wrap up the month back home against the Phillies and the Reds.
Got to do a little bit better than they've done so far. Yeah, no doubt about that. We'll get into it. 9 o'clock hour, round of report, and turn things over to Annie and Elston at 10 o'clock. There's your menu. We will start with the courses. We'll present our dishes, beginning with our Padres wrap-up. In our next segment, the highlights with Jesse and Tony, and we'll discuss yesterday's loss to the San Francisco Giants. Who do you blame? Is it Ha-Sun Kim? Is it Johnny Brito? Is it Mike Schilt? I've seen all of them taking some of the slings and arrows from Padres fans yesterday. So that's coming up next with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Uh-oh, new liner. I was going to make sure I'm not being pranked here. This one looks legitimate. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by SafeLight. Cracked windshield? Go to SafeLight.com now to schedule your free mobile service and let SafeLight come to you. That's SafeLight.com. Conditions may apply.
Got you.
He read it.
What an idiot.
What a moron.
I've seen those ads.
SafeLight Replayer. SafeLight Replace.
The best.
You've done it.
Like, all the time.
Really?
Yeah. I had a crack in my windshield. I went home, took a nap. I came out, the crack in my windshield was gone. It's the best thing ever. Ever. Like, they're so good at what they did.
Sounds like almost like wishing upon a star.
That's exactly right. I went.
Just hope that I wake up that my windshield will be fixed.
I walked out and the guy called me. He's, I'm on my way. Great. Do you need anything from me? No, not at all. I'll just text you when I'm done. Okay. Sounds nice. Good to me. Woke up from my nap. Windshield was fixed. Beautiful.
Outstanding. Yeah. All right. Paulie's got our Padres wrap-up standing by. Get to the highlights and discuss yesterday's game against the Giants right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Ooh.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
It's not your fault.
2-1 to Cronenworth with Fernando at first, one out, just underway. Jake sends one in the air to deep center. Lee is back. He's on the track. He's at the wall, bounces into the wall, and doesn't make the play. Ball hits the top of the fence. Tatis rounding third. On his way, the throw is wide. The tag, not in time. And aggressive base running as Fernando kind of stopped at third and then turned on the Jets to come home and score the first run of the day. 0-2, swing and a miss. Matt Waldron, a quick and tidy 1-2-3 fourth inning, and he caps it with a K. Here's the pitch, and Kim launches one into left field, a line drive, base hit in front of Conforto. Cronenworth will jog home from third, an RBI single for Kim. Padres have doubled their lead, it's 2-0. Runners lead at first and third. Pitch on the way, and Conforto grounds it right to first. Cronenworth steps on the bag, one, throw to second, the tag is dropped by Kim! The game is tied, Soler's on his way to third. Soler at third, two outs, tie game, eighth inning. 3-1 pitch, Chapman base hit into right field. Soler will score, and for the first time today, the Giants lead. It's 3-2. Here it comes. Campusano swings and misses, strike three. Went to the slider, and the ball game is over. Padres with a little bit of life here in the ninth inning, but Duvall extinguishes it, and the Giants win the series after they come from behind in this one and take it 3-2.
Oh, yeah, I mean, super uncharacteristic out of Kimmy. I mean, look, there's nobody else. You know, look, we got a great defensive team, guys we trust, and, you know, this guy's clearly deserving. We won a Gold Glove and won, you know, been top three, you know, years previously, so. You know, sometimes you got to prove you're human. I'll trust Ha-Sung Kim any day of the week defensively.
I think one thing I've noticed about Shield, and I mean, something I actually like about him, guy's going to ride for his players, straight up. He's not going to call his players out. I've never heard him do it. I don't know if he did it in St. Louis. All I can speak to is what he's done here so far. He's a positive guy. He's going to ride for his players. And I do think, as much as it sucks to have your shortstop make two very, very key errors and cost you a game, essentially, you can. It's easy to look at that and go, "That's it. That's the fault of Ha-Sung Kim. The Ha-Sung Kim game, right? Score runs. You got 10 hits off of Logan Webb. Okay, you managed to get 10 knocks off one of the best pitchers in baseball, and you don't add on. It is such a team game." It's the hardest thing to, you know, if you make an error in the first inning and you they get two runs or whatever and you lose that game 2-0, is that your fault? Is it your fault because you booted one in the first or the sixth or the fifth? No, it's not. It's not. And that's the hard part. I think we as fans, you know, we look at that and we want a reason. We want an explanation. But how many chances did you have to add on in that game and in every game that you've lost? And you just didn't. You didn't. And man, I love Kimmy, and Kimmy is a really good shortstop. I'm not ready to trade him. I'm not ready to bench him. I'm not ready to get rid of him. There should be no knee-jerk reaction with Ha-Sung Kim at short. He is going to have crap days with his glove. Yesterday was one of them. The first error, pretty egregious. The next one was just a stupid, weird play. He caught it, snow-coned it almost. Guy ran into it, knocked it out of his glove. I don't know that it was human error on that. You know, what could he have done better? Well, he needs to catch it in the pocket and use two hands.
It wasn't a mental mistake.
It wasn't a mental mistake. Or, yeah. He didn't get nutmegged by it. It's just tough, man. It's to have a guy like that that gives you 110 every single day he's on the field. And everyone's ready to ship him out? That doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
I heard a couple of his comments through translation and, you know, talking about, yeah, it's definitely was on him yesterday. He had a throw that was low early in the game that Jake made a really nice scoop on. And you could almost see, like, his mind working as he's throwing that next one in the sixth inning that got over Jake's head. Like, ah, don't bounce this one. Kind of like me in the first pitch. If I had another chance to throw a first pitch, it would go way over everybody's head. Yeah. It would be like, don't bounce it, don't bounce it, don't bounce it. And you do the exact opposite of bouncing it when you throw like that's human. That does happen. Yeah. The other play was just weird. And this is why it's so difficult for me, I think, to talk about the Padres. I am like most major league managers and GMs, you got to be kind of process oriented in baseball. Like, did the Padres do most of the things that they were supposed to do yesterday to win a game? They had their Padres had their number five starter going up against the Giants' ace. That's pretty much a loss. You're expecting to lose that game.
Pretty much.
But instead, the number five pitcher outpitched the Giants' ace.
Pitched his ass off.
You got 10 hits off that guy. You were hitting the ball hard, doing a good job at the plate. You know, your process offensively was good. And then you just didn't turn them into runs. And that is, no one in baseball has ever really totally solved that equation. You can say, well, you got to hit better with runners in scoring position. Padres are among the league leaders with runners in scoring position this year. Somehow,
God,
last
it doesn't
year
feel like it, I does know. It? It just does not.
Somehow
feel like it.
they
They are just the masters of bad timing.
It's the timing. It is just the worst timing in baseball, I feel like. And, you know, it's like that text I sent to my buddy last week watching this team going, they're just remarkably unclutch. And that's not something you can quantify. You can keep stats of this is what they do. This is what these hitters do seventh inning and beyond. There's stats for it. But I mean, it's not
individually, as we talked about a ton last year. Manny Machado throughout his career, very clutch.
Right.
Xander Bogaerts throughout his career, very clutch. Ha-Sung Kim was clutch even last year. None of these guys have a problem feeling pressure and going up and delivering according to their career numbers.
According to the numbers, yeah.
It once again doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, if I was A.J. Preller, I would be in an insane asylum.
There's no question. In a full-on straitjacket.
This doesn't make a lot of sense. I put together players who all have clutch numbers, and yet somehow as a team, we've changed managers a bunch of times. When it all comes together, whenever we actually do need the one hit, they don't come through.
It's how it feels.
It's how it's felt for the last now season plus 11 games or 12 games of this year.
The other part, and certainly we're going to talk about the Grand Slam game on Saturday. But, I mean, yeah, that was a win. I'm not going to complain about wins. But, again, you get four in the first, and you're like, we're good. And I don't know that you can look at them and say, well, they clearly weren't trying. They were happy with those four runs. It just didn't materialize. And I think that's what they have a real problem of stepping on somebody's throat and keeping their foot there. You know, and yesterday you make a good point. You have your five against their one. You hit their one well and you still don't win that baseball game. That's the baseball. Those are the ones that make the difference at the end of the year. Kudos to Matt Waldron. Pitched his tail off, dude. 5 1/3, 3 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 5 Ks. He's throwing a 3.86 ERA up there, Benny. He's been very good. I mean, that's a very good 2 starts for Matt Waldron. That does give you a little bit of peace knowing the run your rotation just went through was spectacular. 1 through 5, spectacular.
4 quality starts followed by 5 1/3, 3 yeah. hits, 1 unearned run for Matt Waldron. That's 5 terrific starts. And, you know, you got any halfway decent offense, that's a 5-0 stretch
no
for the
question.
San Diego Padres. It's what did they go?
2-3.
2-3.
Yeah, 2-3.
Over that stretch. That's giving up 3 games in the standings right there. You should be tied with the Dodgers for first place right now based on the pitching you got this week. You just get a little bit of offense when you need it. And you are tied for first place instead of 3 games back in second place.
You know, and you look to the move that Mike Schilt made, bringing in Johnny Brito. And it's going to be picked apart. At the end of the day, that error by Ha-Sung Kim, Brito did his job, but by getting the ground ball, this play wasn't made. You know, but Johnny Brito, I think, has proven enough. He is a starter that's not really comfortable. The balls that were hit off him were hit hard. They were.
The Wilmer Flores single was hit hard. The Soler bloop was not hit hard. They had a good pitch there. And then the bouncer to Jake was what you exactly needed in that situation. So of those first 3 batters that he faced, he did his job really against 2 of them.
Yes.
And should have been out of that inning.
With Matt Chapman up as well in a 3-1 count, first base open, you don't have to throw him a heater down the middle that he...
It was on the outside corner. I mean, Chapman went the other way with it.
He did go the other way with it, but it was middle. I mean, it was like...
But it was hittable. It was up and it was hittable.
Yeah. I mean, it's a dream for him. And, you know, again, you got a base open. Let Estrada. If Estrada beats you, Estrada beats you, right? I think Matt Chapman's
We will get to that game when he did actually beat the Padres.
I think Matt Chapman's batting about 900 on a 3-1 count, as most baseball players do. And so, yeah, it's just these little weird things keep happening with this team. And look, here's what it boils down to. If you're the Padres, this city is begging to love you. They're begging to love you. They want to love you. They want to believe so badly. They don't hate you. They love you. You need to play a bit more inspired baseball, a bit more focused baseball. Too many mental mistakes, I think. Too many weird plays going against you. Like, it was just such a series. You felt like, man, we played a lot better than 1-2. played a lot better. We certainly pitched better than 1-2. But yeah, Schilte needs to figure out his bullpen. They need to figure out what they're going to do with Brito. They need to figure out how to get Manny going. Obviously. I mean, the top of the order right now, other than Jake, is hurting this team.
Let's talk about Mike Schilte and the bullpen decision specifically. He had Yuki Matsui went in, and my goodness gracious, he got 4 outs and 7 pitches. Had a 6-pitch inning in the 7th, and then 1 pitch, 1 out in the 8th. So he's certainly got plenty of gas left in the tank if they want to stay with him. But he's a left-hander, and Bob Melvin decides, all right, let's take out, I think it was Wade, and put in Wilmer Flores as the pinch hitter. And Mike Schilte decided, all right, we've got Johnny Brito warm. Let's go righty-righty. Let's go buy the book, baseball-wise, and let's get the better handed matchup here against Wilmer Flores, and it backfired. Is that a managerial error there? Why not just stick with Yuki Matsui, who is throwing well, and let the Giants have the righty-lefty advantage? Or would that have been a mistake to leave the lefty in when you had a righty ready to go for exactly that situation?
It's the worst job in the big leagues, man. Period. That's it. There's no way to answer that question. I mean, playing matchups is how you can sleep at night, and sometimes they get you, and sometimes you get them. You know, period.
It's a more defensible decision to go, why were you even warming up Brito if you weren't going to go to him if they went to a righty pinch hitter? That's why you had him warming. They did it. You were prepared with the move to counter Bob Melvin's move. I mean, that is baseball 101 right there. That's not he's not reinventing the wheel.
Nope.
That's how baseball managers do it. They have the right-hander ready, and they go to him when the pinch hitter is a right-hander in that situation. You got, another couple right-handers behind him. Well, I mean, that is what you do. So is that on Mike Schilte? Is it on Mike Schilte for not, should he have gone with Eniel De Los Santos or someone else? You can always make that argument as well. Or is it on AJ Preller? We all like the bullpen he put together, but
it's been terrible.
It hasn't been that effective so far this season. And is he not given Mike Schilte the right options in that bullpen? A better right-hander in that situation, maybe the Padres do win that game. Do you need to make a move and send Johnny Brito down and bring up Jeremiah Estrada or Alex Jacob, who are both in the minor leagues right now and look good in spring training, or Randy Vasquez even? You've got other guys that were performing fairly well in spring training. You don't have to stick with guys forever. I also understand that if you just send every guy down after he has one or two bad outings, I mean, it's going to be just a constant revolving door, and no one's ever going to get locked in or comfortable. So you have to have some patience with your guys before you make moves. Is it Mike Schilte, or is it a... Uh-oh,
new liner. I was going to make sure I'm not being pranked here. This one looks legitimate. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by SafeLight Cracked Windshield. Go to safelight.com now to schedule your free mobile service and let SafeLight come to you. That's safelight.com. Conditions may apply.
Got you.
He read it.
What an idiot.
What a moron.
I've seen those ads.
SafeLight replace.
The best.
You've done it.
Like all the time.
Really?
Yeah. I had a crack in my windshield. I went home, took a nap. I came out, the crack in my windshield was gone. It's the best thing ever. Ever. Like, they're so good at what they did.
Sounds like almost like wishing upon a star.
That's exactly right. I went.
Just hope that I wake up that my windshield will be fixed.
I walked out and the guy called me. He's on my way. Great. Do you need anything from me? No, not at all. I'll just text you when I'm done. Okay. Sounds good to me. Woke up from my nap. Windshield was fixed. Beautiful.
Outstanding. Yeah. All right, Paulie's got our Padres wrap-up standing by. Get to the highlights and discuss yesterday's game against the Giants right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
It's not your fault.
2-1 to Cronenworth with Fernando at first, one out, just underway. Jake sends one in the air to deep center. Lee is back. He's on the track. He's at the wall, bounces into the wall, and doesn't make the play. Ball hits the top of the fence. Tatis rounding third. On his way, the throw is wide. The tag, not in time. And aggressive base running as Fernando kind of stopped at third and then turned on the Jets to come home and score the first run of the day. 0-2, swing and a miss. Matt Waldron, a quick and tidy 1-2-3 fourth inning, and he caps it with a K. Here's the pitch, and Kim launches one into left field, a line drive, base hit in front of Conforto. Cronenworth will jog home from third, an RBI single for Kim. Padres have doubled their lead, it's 2-0. Runners lead at first and third. Pitch on the way, and Conforto grounds it right to first. Cronenworth steps on the bag, one, throw to second, the tag is dropped by Kim! The game is tied, Soler's on his way to third. Soler at third, two outs, tie game, eighth inning. 3-1 pitch, Chapman base hit into right field. Soler will score, and for the first time today, the Giants lead. It's 3-2. Here it comes. Campusano swings and misses strike three. Went to the slider, and the ball game is over. Padres with a little bit of life here in the ninth inning, but Duvall extinguishes it, and the Giants win the series after they come from behind in this one and take it 3-2.
Oh, yeah, I mean, super uncharacteristic. Got a Kimmy, I mean, look, there's nobody else. You know, look, we got a great defensive team, guys we trust, and, you know, us guys clearly deserve it. We won a Gold Glove and won, you know, been top three, you know, years previously, so... You know, sometimes you got to prove you're human. I'll trust Ha-Sung Kim any day of the week defensively.
I think one thing I've noticed about Shield, and I mean, something I actually like about him, guy's going to ride for his players, straight up. He's not going to call his players out. I've never heard him do it. I don't know if he did it in St. Louis. All I can speak to is what he's done here so far. He's a positive guy. He's going to ride for his players. And I do think... as much as it sucks to have your shortstop make two very, very key errors and cost you a game, essentially, it's easy to look at that and go, that's it. That's the fault of Ha-Sung Kim. The Ha-Sung Kim game, right? Score runs. You got 10 hits off of Logan Webb, okay? You managed to get 10 knocks off one of the best pitchers in baseball, and you don't add on. It is such a team game. It's the hardest thing to, you know, if you make an error in the first inning and they get two runs or whatever and you lose that game 2-0, is that your fault? Is it your fault because you booted one in the first or the sixth or the fifth? No, it's not. It's not. And that's the hard part. I think we as fans, you know, we look at that and we want a reason. We want an explanation. But how many chances did you have to add on in that game and in every game that you've lost? And you just didn't. You didn't. And, man, I love Kimmy, and Kimmy is a really good shortstop. I'm not ready to trade him. I'm not ready to bench him. I'm not ready to get rid of him. There should be no knee-jerk reaction with Ha-Sung Kim at short. He is going to have crap days with his glove. Yesterday was one of them. The first error, pretty egregious. The next one was just a stupid, weird play. He caught it. The snow-coned it almost. Guy ran into it, knocked it out of his glove. I don't know that it was human error on that. You know, what could he have done better? Well, he needs to catch it in the pocket and use two hands.
It wasn't a mental mistake.
Or, no. He didn't get nutmegged by it. It's just tough, man. It's to have a guy like that that gives you 110 every single day he's on the field and everyone's ready to ship him out. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
I heard a couple of his comments through translation and, you know, talking about, yeah, it's... definitely was on him yesterday. He had a throw that was low early in the game that Jake made a really nice scoop on. And you could almost see like his mind working as he's throwing that next one in the sixth inning that got over Jake's head. Like, ah, don't bounce this one. Kind of like me in the first pitch. If I had another chance to throw a first pitch, it would go way over everybody's head. Yeah. It would be like, don't bounce it, don't bounce it, don't bounce it. And you do the exact opposite of bouncing it when you throw like that's human. That does happen. Yeah, the other play was just weird. And this is why it's so difficult for me, I think, to talk about the Padres. I am like most major league managers and GMs. You got to be kind of process oriented in baseball. Like, did the Padres do most of the things that they were supposed to do yesterday to win a game? They had their Padres had their number five starter
going up against the Giants' ace. That's pretty much a loss. You're expecting to lose that game.
Pretty much.
But instead, the number five pitcher outpitched the Giants' ace.
Pitched his ass off.
You got 10 hits off that guy. You were hitting the ball hard, doing a good job at the plate. You know, your process offensively was good. And then you just didn't turn them into runs. And that is, no one in baseball has ever really totally solved that equation. You could say, well, you got to hit better with runners in scoring position. Padres are among the league leaders with runners in scoring position this year. Somehow,
God,
last year,
feel like it, does it? It just does not feel like it.
They are just the masters of bad timing.
It's the timing. It is just the worst timing in baseball, I feel like. And, you know, it's like that text I sent to my buddy last week watching this team going, they're just remarkably unclutch. And that's not something you can quantify. You can keep stats of this is what they do. This is what these hitters do seventh inning and beyond. There's stats for it. But I mean,
individually, as we talked about a ton last year, Manny Machado throughout his career, very clutch.
Right.
Xander Bogaerts throughout his career, very clutch. Ha-Sung Kim was clutch even last year. None of these guys have a problem feeling pressure and going up and delivering according to their career numbers.
According to the numbers, yeah.
It once again doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, if I was A.J. Preller, I would be in an insane asylum.
There's no question. In a full-on straitjacket.
This doesn't make a lot of sense. I put together players who all have clutch numbers, and yet somehow as a team, we've changed managers a bunch of times. When it all comes together, whenever we actually do need the one hit, they don't come through.
It's how it feels.
It's how it's felt for the last now season plus 11 games or 12 games of this year.
The other part, and certainly we're going to talk about the Grand Slam game on Saturday. But, I mean, yeah, that was a win. I'm not going to complain about wins. But, again, you get four in the first, and you're like, we're good. And I don't know that you can look at them and say, well, they clearly weren't trying. They were happy with those four runs. It just didn't materialize. And I think that's what they have a real problem of stepping on somebody's throat and keeping their foot there. You know, and yesterday you make a good point. You have your five against their one. You hit their one well and you still don't win that baseball game. That's the baseball. Those are the ones that make the difference at the end of the year. Kudos to Matt Waldron. Pitched his tail off, dude. 5 1/3, 3 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 5 Ks. He's throwing a 3.86 ERA up there, Benny. He's been very good. I mean, that's a very good 2 starts for Matt Waldron. That does give you a little bit of peace knowing the run your rotation just went through was spectacular. 1 through 5, spectacular.
4 quality starts followed by 5 1/3, 3 yeah. hits, 1 unearned run for Matt Waldron. That's 5 terrific starts. And, you know, you got any halfway decent offense, that's a 5-0 stretch
no
for the
question.
San Diego Padres. It's what did they go?
2-3.
Two and three. That stretch. That's giving up 3 games in the standings right there. You should be tied with the Dodgers for first place right now based on the pitching you got this week. You just get a little bit of offense when you need it. And you are tied for first place instead of 3 games back in second place.
You know, and you look to the move that Mike Schilt made, bringing in Johnny Brito. And it's going to be picked apart. At the end of the day, that error by Ha-Sung Kim, Brito did his job, but by getting the ground ball, this play wasn't made. You know, but Johnny Brito, I think, has proven enough. He is a starter that's not really comfortable. The balls that were hit off him were hit hard. They were.
The Wilmer Flores single was hit hard. The Soler bloop was not hit hard. They had a good pitch there. And then the bouncer to Jake was what you exactly needed in that situation. So of those first 3 batters that he faced, he did his job really against 2 of them.
Yes.
And should have been out of that inning.
With Matt Chapman up as well in a 3-1 count, first base open, you don't have to throw him a heater down the middle that he...
It was on the outside corner. I mean, Chapman went the other way with it.
He did go the other way with it, but it was middle. I mean, it was like...
It was hittable. It was up and it was hittable.
Yeah. I mean, it's a dream for him. And you know, again, you got a base open. Let Estrada. If Estrada beats you, Estrada beats you, right? I think Matt Chapman's
We will get to that game when he did actually beat the Padres.
I think Estrada. I think Matt Chapman's batting about 900 on a 3-1 count, as most baseball players do. And so, yeah, it's just these little weird things keep happening with this team. And look, here's what it boils down to. If you're the Padres, This city is begging to love you. They're begging to love you. They want to love you. They want to believe so badly. They don't hate you. They love you. You need to play. You need to play a bit more inspired baseball, a bit more focused baseball. Too many mental mistakes, I think. Too many weird plays going against you. Like, it was just such a series. You felt like, man, we played a lot better than one and two. Played a lot better. We certainly pitched better than one and two. But yeah, Schulte needs to figure out his bullpen. They need to figure out what they're going to do with Brito. They need to figure out how to get Manny going. Obviously. I mean, the top of the order right now, other than Jake, is hurting this team.
Let's talk about Mike Schilt and the bullpen decision specifically. He had, Yuki Matsui went in and my goodness gracious, he got four outs and seven pitches. Had a six-pitch inning in the seventh, and then one pitch, one out in the eighth. So he's certainly got plenty of gas left in the tank if they want to stay with him. But he's a left-hander, and Bob Melvin decides, all right, let's take out, I think it was Wade, and put in Wilmer Flores as the pinch hitter. And Mike Schilt decided, all right, we've got Johnny Brito warm. Let's go righty-righty. Let's go buy the book baseball-wise, and let's get the better handed matchup here against Wilmer Flores, and it backfired. Is that a managerial error there? Why not just stick with Yuki Matsui, who is throwing well, and let the Giants have the righty-lefty advantage? Or would that have been a mistake to leave the lefty in when you had a righty ready to go for exactly that situation?
It's the worst job in the big leagues, man. Period. That's it. There's no way to answer that question. I mean, playing matchups is how you can sleep at night, and sometimes they get you, and sometimes you get them. You know, period.
It's a more defensible decision to go, why were you even warming up Brito if you weren't going to go to him if they went to a righty pinch hitter? That's why you had him warming. They did it. You were prepared with the move to counter Bob Melvin's move. I mean, that is baseball 101 right there. He's not reinventing the wheel.
Nope.
That's how baseball managers do it. They have the right-hander ready, and they go to him when the pinch hitter is a right-hander in that situation. You got, another couple right-handers behind him. Well, I mean, that is what you do. So is that on Mike Schilt? Is it on Mike Schilt for not, should he have gone with Eniel De Los Santos or someone else? You can always make that argument as well. Or is it on A.J. Preller? We all like the bullpen he put together, but
it's been terrible.
It hasn't been that effective so far this season. And is he not given Mike Schilt the right options in that bullpen? A better right-hander in that situation, maybe the Padres do win that game. Do you need to make a move and send Johnny Brito down and bring up Jeremiah Estrada or Alex Jacob, who are both in the minor leagues right now and look good in spring training, or Randy Vasquez even? You've got other guys that were performing fairly well in spring training. You don't have to stick with guys forever. I also understand that if you just send every guy down after he has one or two bad outings, I mean, it's going to be just a constant revolving door, and no one's ever going to get locked in or comfortable. So you have to have some patience with your guys before you make moves. Is it Mike Schilt, or is it A.J. Preller, or is it just on Johnny Brito? You got to get the job done. Even when the guys behind you make a mistake, you've got to come back and get the next guy out.
Yeah, I mean, the pitching's one thing. You do, the paltry amount of runs that they've scored lately is tough to stomach, too, especially with the really brilliant starting pitching that you've had. And it has been great. That is all you can ask for your entire rotation, 1 through 5. They've done their jobs. The bullpen has faltered. The defense has now faltered. And the hitting has certainly been mediocre. And, again, they had a couple of the feast or famine games, Benny. Those feast games do make the offense look a little better than it actually is.
Sure,
anytime they feast, you're like, oh,
they've had eight or nine innings where they've scored at least three runs
right.
In just one inning.
In one inning.
And now they've had five games out of 12 that they've scored two in those games.
Yeah.
So obviously they have games where they have big innings and they score a lot, and they have games where they just
love those.
Can't get going. Sounds very familiar, actually.
Yeah, very familiar.
Here's Mike Schilt from yesterday post game talking about another one run game.
Today a lot of good at bats. We just couldn't execute, it's they got a big time ground ball guy over there, and he was able to
put us on the ground a lot when we had traffic, and you know, we had a lot of opportunities, just couldn't get did some things well, had some good at bats, and then just couldn't open it up. So it's just about execution at the end of the day.
Yeah, I thought Mike Schilt was trying, like when they had two on and Higashioka was up, and last time he was in that situation, he grounded into a double play. So they said, let's bunt. I mean, Logan Webb should be a guy you can bunt. I mean, sinker baller. I mean, it's made for a bunt. Couldn't get it down. Couldn't get the runners over. That might have cost the Padres the game right there. And yeah, I mean, he's the 9-hitting backup catcher. Probably, you know, doesn't bunt a ton. Is that the right decision or the wrong decision? He might have hit a 3-run homer there if you had let him hit. You never know. But I think it was a smart call by Mike Schilt to have him lay down the bunt, and it didn't work either.
It's just execution, like you said. It sucks, man.
All right, we will get to some of the other two games of the weekend. We'll play a little take on Woods. Start our second hour when we return here on San Diego's number one sports station. Ben and Woods back next on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.